Then the Ramchal has begun to lay out a couple of key ideas, the foundations of building a coherent approach to making sense of life, to making sense of how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he had said from the outset, we saw last time, number one, we said at the very beginning, the importance of asking questions and seeking not only to believe, but as well to understand what one believes. And begin to lay the groundwork for this structure of ideas. So, like, the first question is to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what were some of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's objectives in creating us? And we saw, he said, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as far as we can tell, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's objective in creating us was to have the opportunity to give good to us, to be beneficial to us. And that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the universe, he chose to set up the universe such that you enjoy most that which you've actually earned. If you could be in some way the master of your own destiny and create the goodness, will be far, far better than if it's just to hand it to you in a silver platter. So he writes in, we're picking up in Oschaf, Amar HaSeichel, Bina Agdama Shai Agdama. He understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goal specifically in Olam Hazeh was to give us a chance to make ourselves, to give us a chance to earn the tov, to earn the unimaginable goodness and pleasure of Olam Haba. So this is meant to Olam Haba is the ultimate goal, and that's designed by Kadosh Baruch Hu, calibrated by Kadosh Baruch Hu to be the ultimate Olam HaTanug. Olam Hazeh serves a critical role as Olam HaNisayon, as optimized by the divine engineer to be the ultimate arena of challenge. With that in mind, Yatzalanu, Yetzalanu, Shorish Gadolus Bonilla. That already gives us a root idea that we need to really chew on, that we need to really think about. U'in hachisaron u'shlei musa. And that's the idea of lack. The fact that things aren't perfect. And we're not perfect. And that leaves space for us to grow. That leaves space for us to improve. There's work to be done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us, put us here to work. So there has to be work to be done. After Tzarech Hadas Ma'a Vechazard, Umao told us all. So now we really need to think about this. He said, what are we lacking? How are we creating, what way are we creating perfect? And how does that play itself out? What are the toladas of those chesronos? Amahu tikuno shetishlag bo'abiyah. What would perfection look like? To recognize what the imperfections are, and then to imagine what the perfections could look like. What would a perfected real look like? And then, practically, eiza derech heil sosatik razeh, mahem told us off. How do you go about doing that? That's essentially laying out a roadmap for what are the chesronos now, what could the world look like, the real and the ideal, and how to get there. The truth is that maybe both. Let's see as things unfold. The truth is, in Turkey, talking about us in particular, if you look at Lauren Ramachal's most practically oriented Svarim, that paralleling on this material, Masilas Yisharim, when he discusses the first step in a project of growth, Zahirus, so he talks about this very pattern of ideas in Paragimel. It begins to break down in Paragimel the details of what Zahirus entails. He understands Zahirus means really thinking carefully, considering life, and not just going through on autopilot. So he talks about three sets of questions a pair of questions. There's three dimensions of how to think about Zahirus, and one of them is a pair of the two questions that you want to consider are the ideal and the real. As, what are the situations I'm handling, how am I handling them, and how ought I to handle them? What am I actually doing, and how would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to handle situations? The real and the ideal. So that's exactly what he talks about here, but here it's sort of in a more philosophical way. What are the chesronos of ourselves or of life in principle? Mr. Sharma is like Lamaisa. Let me think about the past week. You know, which situations, which people, which Agayos, which Nisonas, which Mitzvahs. Mr. Sharma, it's very specific and very practical. Here he's saying sort of like zooming out. What is Chisaron, and how could things be different? What would it look like if things were perfect?
What's Toldos? I mean,
Toldos are how it plays out. What are the ramifications? Well, in principle, what is our Chisaron, and you know, how does that play itself out in life? And what could, how would one fix it, and you know, how is it actually going to play itself out? Like Avosin, a little bit like Avosin told us in Shabbos. So the paragraph Chafaf, Neshama says, well, okay, I hear that. Aval Chashavas Hanish, Tzarech Lahavin Mahu Hashlemus. Shagil Lo Ha'adam Kishe Hishlim Avodoso V'Shavas Nimlachta. It seems to me, Neshama says, that you're going about this backwards. Don't you think you ought to first understand what the destination is? Don't you think you ought to first understand what's the shleimus that person is going to reach when he completes his work? The shavas mimalachto. In other words, don't you think it would make sense to first understand what Olam Haba is? That's what it is we're trying to create through our work in Olam Hazeh. And notice the language shavas mimalachto, and that's obviously playing off of the language that Chazal have in the Mishnah and Talmud. That Olam Haba is Yom Shekul Shabbos. That Shabbos, in turn, is sort of like a metaphor for Olam Haba. It says we have days, we have days of Malacha here in Olam Hazeh, and Mishatarach, we have Shabbos. You worked on Friday, you'll chup a Shabbos, and you'll enjoy it on Shabbos. Ramchal writes in the first paragraph of Seal Sharm, that's the metaphor for Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. So that's exactly what he's accessing here. Wouldn't it make sense to understand what our Shabbos would be like, what our Olam Haba would be like, and then Avin Mafreya, then looking backwards, then we'll begin to understand Olam Hazeh. The time is the Pasha to Mavur, and the Shema says, seems very logical. Hello, Zeshi Asiga Adam Levasof, Kumasha Chasim Ani Betchila. The Shlemus we're going to get at the end—that's exactly what we've been lacking up until now. We're working on filling the gap. So let's understand what. Wouldn't it make sense not to start with Chisaron, but to start with Shlemus? Chisaron, right? In paragraph off, the Seichel said, okay, now we're ready to begin to think about Chisaron and Shlemus. Let's understand what are Chisaronos and what's going to look like when we're completed and how will we get there. So Neshama says, well, I don't understand. Shouldn't we first talk about the ideal and then we'll understand, you know, we'll see what's missing?
How are we supposed to know what's missing and
what
the goal is?
Right, that's exactly what Neshama says. I'd like to first know what the goal is. So the Seichel says in paragraph 5, Amar Seichel Kendi Parta, good point. You're making a good point. Omnama Shleimus Nuchal Lavino Sa'at Becha. We can understand Shleimus at this point in general terms. Velo Befrat. It's going to be hard for us, given our perspective in Olam Hazeh, it's going to be hard for us to, in detail, with a lot of nuance, really understand what Shleimus could be like. But if we can understand it even in the overall contours, in general terms, you're right. If we can at least get a general sense of what Shleimus could look like in the future, then we'll be able to now, with that perspective, look at our lives now and understand in detail what the Chisaronos are here. It's every Chisaron in life as it stands in Olam Hazeh now, the work that it needs doing, is the extent to which we're not yet at a perfected state. And you remember, this again is already going back to remember that first point the Seichel made, the very beginning. He said, you want to discuss the Emunah, you want to understand the ideas, you want to engage in inquiry, great. Just understand there are going to be limits, just given the limits of our experience, the limits of our intuition, there'll be ideas that we'll be able to understand in general terms. We're not going to be equipped to get into detail. So here he says, this is a great point, Neshama. Let's begin to understand what Adam HaShalim could look like. Understand that's going to be an outline. Amar Neshama, go ahead. And more Masha Taomer, Al-Shlema says that I'm ready to hear whatever you're ready to say, whatever you're ready to share about Shlemus, I'm ready to hear. Okay. Amar HaSeichel, see your paragraph of that. Amar HaSefer. HaShleimus HaZeh Pashtu Menan Mikra Men HaSefer. As you look around Tanakh and you think about things logically, it's clear that perfecting a human being is and the greatest pleasure one could enjoy. Shiyah Adam is that big yisbarach, to attach yourself, literally to adhere, to glue yourself, to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kedusha. And to just derive such incredible joy from that connection without anything getting in the way. In other words, from that one sentence, carefully crafted sentence, there's already a lot going on. He's saying the essence of it is the connectedness to Rosh Hashanah's Kedusha, and that enables such a flow of pleasure without anything getting in the way, meaning right now, the pleasure may be there, but there's so much in our lives, so much static in our lives, that's getting there's so many mechitzos that don't allow us to directly connect with that pleasure. That pleasure is so like, you know, you're crimping the hose. There's such flow ready to come through, but it's crimped and it's squeezed and it's cut off in so many ways that we're only getting a little whiff of that pleasure.
If it goes like to be dubbing, then like why is, I don't know if it's true, like why feel like kind of a lesser level than like Torah, like in terms of connecting to Hashem?
That's a great question.
I don't know if that's for now. But.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're thinking practically. So let's first sort of lay the groundwork of ideas, and then in time he's going to get increasingly practical, increasingly specific. And that's what he said in the previous paragraph of Chabez. We're going to understand the Shlemus and sort of the target, we're going to understand in general terms, but then we'll look back at our lives here in Olazeh, and then we'll be able to look in detail at our lives, given sort of the overall picture of the ideal Shlemus. So we're raising just from this one sentence again a sense of the core idea of the connectedness to Rosh Hashanah's Kedusha and the recognition that unlike our lives on Hazeh, that ought to allow us to experience this unimaginably consistent, uninterrupted flow of pure pleasure. Yibayi say mikra, you can want their psukim, so they're playing, if you're looking for psukim, they're playing psukim. So many psukim. So many similar psukim that speak about the joy of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're all over Nach. Jews and non-Jews alike can find them. They're right there. Dear Shomei Al Sefer Hashem and Pekirim. Just open up a Tanakh and look. There's so many references. 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 To the immense pleasure of connectedness to Rebbe Shemin says, Chazal say it's a Gemara in Brachas. A Gemara which the Rambam in some of his writings stresses, highlights very much, took a very central description of Olam Haba. Olam Haba in Bala Achil or Shtia, it's not going to involve eating and drinking and so forth. It's a Dikim Yoshim, Vatra Sein Vershem, Inehenim Miziv Hashina. Unmitigated, yeah, it's a Gemara in Brachas, not Yidzayim. Unmitigated. Unmitigated, uninterrupted flow of unintercepted flow of Hana from HaKadosh Baruch. It says, so it's Tanakh and it's Chazal. It says, think about things logically. And this is an argument, the following point is an argument that he makes in Parak Alf and Mesil Shem as well. Neshama is a spiritual entity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates with this connection to Rosh Hashanah. Created us. We said that the unique thing about being a human being is that we're a fusion of the spiritual and the physical. We're a fusion of the body and neshama, spiritual neshama. And when a biologist tells you that humans are mammals, that humans are primates, right, and that we're in many ways, you know, somewhat similar to rabbits, and very similar to orangutans. So he's right halfway. It's absolutely true that our bodies are mammals. Our bodies are primates. We have animal bodies.
100%,
50%. Right. And what Chumash stresses in Parak Aleph of Bereishis is that the creation of Adam Rishon was offered from an Adam, a physical, earthy body. The Yibam HaAfon Mishra's time. The Kodesh Baruch Hu takes this animal and endows it with a neshama. Shechter likes to quote from the the Zohar, that the reason why the Torah uses the metaphor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu blowing in, the Yipach Pa'apa Mishra's time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew in the Neshama, is because Man D'Nafach V'Dilei Nafach. The Zohar says that if a person blows, and when you blow into a balloon, you're blowing in, you're filling the balloon with air that had formerly been inside yourself. You're blowing out some of your interior. So we use that metaphor, Torah uses that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in composing the Chumash, use that metaphor in describing the process of endowment of the Neshama to tell us that in some sense he's putting like a, so to speak, a part of himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking this physical body that he had created, he had crafted, and endowed it with spirituality, with a spiritual part. It's a connection that connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, so Hashem often will say it. Tzemel Lakim is the ability that every human being has to be mizdamet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvah alach tibedrachav is a mitzvah to try to model ourselves and model our personalities after the divine model to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tati Yodei. So Tzemel Lakim means that exactly that we have, every human being has the ability to do that. So coming back here, so he says, Neshama is a chelek al kamim al. We're part physical and part spiritual, right? Let's use Rav Nachman's famous mantra, where we're the turkey prince. You know, a fusion of an animal body, with banu mamakam, but a spiritual soul, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what excites the Neshama? What excites the physical body are physical pleasures. What excites us, spiritual neshama, or what excites our spiritual parts? Spiritual pleasures. Ancient kasa vayela shuli devek mekor lasigo. The neshama is connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The neshama's greatest desire is to reconnect, to be increasingly connected to emotional. Keteva kol alu hachashek liilaso. It's natural. That's what's built for. Our neshamas will be appeased when we achieve that. Now, you want to know, so that's sort of, he says, it's in general terms. It makes sense, we're half spiritual, we must want spirituality. We must want connection, we crave connection to Kadosh Baruch. That's the greatest pleasure we could. I say, you see it in Tanakh, you see it in Chazal. That's in broad strokes. To understand exactly what does it mean what's the nature of this connection to Hashem. I know what it means for two physical objects to be connected. They could be glued together, they could be stitched together, they could be screwed together, they could be welded together. You know, there are different ways to physically connect objects, but to physically connect physical objects. But what does it mean to have a spiritual connection between the neshama and Kadosh Baruch Hu? So look, we do know what it means for, let's say, two people to have a spiritual connection, to have a connection that's not exactly physical, a friendship, or something more, it's not physically, let's say, touching each other, and you're not sewn together in a physical sense. And so we understand that it could be something that's beyond, two entities can be connected in a way that's not exactly physical. We can be good friends, or we feel connected, we're not touching each other, you know, tactile connection. So we understand already, even from within our experience, that there can be connections that are very powerful, right? And arguably, the connection to two good friends is a lot stronger than the connection of two parts of a chair to each other. That's a lot deeper, a lot more real, a lot more enduring. So we can begin to imagine, but we don't the details. What exactly does it mean for the neshama to be connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Mahasaga zos, what is it we're going to achieve? What is it that we're going to feel? Ein anu ein lanu kol havinoso. As long as we're living within the physical limitations of all that, so we're not equipped to fully understand the details, as I told you, he said before. In broad strokes, we can understand the details, we can understand that in loose terms, to be connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu in a way that far surpasses physical connection to physical objects, beyond amazing. Avol, let's see, finish better. With this in mind, we can begin to notice what's lacking in the here and now. We don't know the details exactly how this Dveikus B'Kadosh Baruch Hu works. We don't know the mechanics, but we know that the greatest shleimus and the greatest joy and pleasure is from connecting to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so then it stands to reason. Kei neida shechesronos heim kol richo kizev. So then, to be lacking is to be missing the connectedness. Hamenia hamismatzas beinoseinu uveinu yisbaruch shmo. The things that get in between us and Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the things that hold us back. So if there's something getting in the way, there's some blockage, so we're not able to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu the way we will when the blockage is gone. And this is those sorts of blockages, those sorts of mechitzos, are the gaps in our lives that we're seeking to fill. So thereby, by addressing those blockages, by addressing those gaps, the things that prevent us from connecting to Hashem Baruch Hu, so we're going to, through working on those chesronos, we're going to, through seeking to cure those chesronos, we're going to be kona that shlemus that we mentioned. Okay. He now says, but before we go on, because again, right now what we expect him to do is to say, okay, now we're going to get into great detail in terms of what these chesronos are, and then we get into very practical waters. He says, I need to give you one more hagdama. So I think that's a good stopping point here, especially since we're at the 20-minute mark. So that's we're here, Blue Netter, next week. Next week, Monday, Mr. Chairman, we'll pick up with this idea. Another concept, another hakadama that we need in order to begin to really appreciate what our chesronos are in detail and to begin to figure out how we can deal with them.